you know, it's strange when you start to realize that God is using you, and I don't mean to say that to brag, but since Stacy and I have started this, started Free Course Ministries, when we tell people the story, we almost feel guilt in telling them the story of how good of a story it is and what a blessing God has been to us over the last 2 years. And we were down in North Carolina, and I'm sure you guys remember, Jesse decided to take some blood thinners and some antihistamines while he was down, while we were visiting somebody in North Carolina, and we had to rush him off to the emergency room, and probably one of the scariest moments of my life. And but while we were down there, you know, we had to tell our story to the people who gave us the boat. And it was just, I thought it was guilt, but then I started thinking about it later on, and it was genuine humility. And, you know, we all talk about being humble and you know, things of that nature, but I'm telling you right now, humility is not a good feeling. Okay? It almost makes you feel like you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, because you just, you want to tell people about it, but there's something there that says, hey, wait a minute, they may not be in such a great position as you are. You know what I mean? So we have to be careful with how we talk to people. And since I have started preaching and since I have started teaching and started this ministry, you know, the Lord puts a lot of things on your heart, and you hear that a lot. Oh, the Lord put this message on my heart. The Lord put this message on my heart. But, you know, it's hard to understand. Like I was telling my wife the other day, is that I think in sermons now. When I think about an issue or when I think about Bible, the way I think is this setting right here, is teaching it to people, relaying that thought or relaying that issue in a manner that somebody can understand it, that will edify them and glorify the Word of God. And we can easily get stuck on a on an issue, okay, that doesn't do those things, okay? And I didn't understand it when I was going through school. One of the things that they kept on telling you was to not, as a preacher, to not be involved politically. And I never really understood that. I thought it was just this black and white contrast, because so many preachers get themselves in trouble by being too political or something of that nature. But I think I finally understand it, and it is when you get political about an issue, politics has a way of making you, giving you tunnel vision and not seeing the big picture. And you'll get stuck on abortion, or you'll get stuck on the Patriot movement, or you'll get stuck on the Second Amendment, instead of looking at the big picture, okay? And we need to be that way with our Bible, okay? We need to treat this Bible that way too, because you can get political, and I use that phrase as a way to describe how people can get with the Word of God, is that you can get on an issue, and it can literally drive you mad from the inside out, because you want other people to see it the same way you want them, the same way you see it, okay? And we got to be careful, okay? We have to be careful with those issues. You have to look at it from the big picture. And since I started preaching and teaching, one of the things that I have to make sure that I'm doing is that I'm looking at an issue from all points of view, not just mine own, not just from my own experiences, not just from what I've been taught about the Bible, but I have to look at it. I look at things now as if I've never been taught. That's how I look at it. I look at it in light of being taught, but I look at it and I say, okay, Lord, is this the truth? I know what I've been taught. I know what I believe, but is this the truth? Okay? And I'm that way with everything. Okay, that's why I look at some strange things. Okay, but you have to be that way. And you can glean a lot of truth from people who don't necessarily have the truth. But we have to be careful with the issues. Okay, and once you start learning this stuff, and I don't know where I was going with that, but I was talking about humility and things of that nature. When we get tunnel vision and get off of the big picture, we can lose our humility. And then it's counterproductive to what the mission is. Amen? So we need to be careful. Okay, you need to look at the big picture. You need to remember that other people have issues just like you have. Some probably a lot worse. You know, I come to find this out a lot, that there are people got a lot worse issues out there than I do. And then I feel like a heel, you know, because I might have judged that person or whatnot, you know. So we have to be careful, okay? But let's get into the lesson here. And you got to forgive me. I'm having one of those days, a whole weekend, where you just got like fog in my head. And it's hard to hang on to a thought. But anyway, last week we were in the dispensation of human government, okay? And we've been talking about rightly dividing, that it's the key to understanding the scripture, okay? All of the cults out there, all of them, they fail to rightly divide. Okay? All of them fail to rightly divide. That's a common denominator amongst all denominations, is that they fail to rightly divide. Okay? And you can see it everywhere you go. You can see it. Whenever you go to another church, you will see that they do not rightly divide, and that's why they're messed up in their doctrine. Because I'll give you an example. We were at a charismatic church, okay? And they're okay with the gospel. They're okay with salvation by grace through faith. But then they'll run and say, well, the soul that sinneth dieth. So if you continue in your sin, you can lose your salvation. Okay? So they fail to rightly divide. They divide it when it's good for them. You see, they divide it when they want to break, when the full gospel Pentecostals want to split from the Assembly of God Pentecostals, they can rightly divide and say that tongues are not for today. And then they'll split off and say that tongues are not part of your salvation. They'll rightly divide it there, okay? But they won't rightly divide all the Psalms where all the physical blessings are given to the nation of Israel and not the church. You see? So rightly dividing is the key to understanding the scriptures, and we have to rightly divide. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's changed in all new Bibles. The word study is removed. Okay? So we have to rightly divide. Okay, so last week we were talking about the dispensation of human government. It ended with Babel. Okay? It ended with man failing again, like all dispensations do. They end with man failing. Okay? So that's where we were. We left off in Babel. We talked about Babel a little bit. Okay, what it could have been. And now we're going to go into Genesis chapter 12. This is the dispensation of promise. The dispensation of promise. It can also be called the dispensation of family or patriarchal. Okay? This starts in Genesis 12, and it runs all the way to Exodus 19. It covers about 430 years. Lots of stuff happens in this dispensation. Okay? You've got the Abrahamic covenant, which is what we're going to be focusing in on today. And then you're going to have... you're going to have Hagar, you're going to have Sarah, you're going to have Hagar, you're going to have Ishmael, Isaac, okay? You're going to have Joseph in there. You're going to have the first war among the nations taking place, okay? So this is a pretty, you're going to have the Exodus is going to be in there, okay? So this is a pretty big dispensation as far as to... what was going on at the time. A lot happened. A lot of soap opera stuff happened. Okay? All right? So, some things about this dispensation. 430 years. Okay? It can also be called dispensation of family, because God gives promises to a family. Okay, patriarchal, the fathers of Israel, you'll see, are going to be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're going to find that in here, so it could also be called patriarchal. Okay, those are the patriarchs. Okay, up to this point, you have about 2,100 years of history. Up to this point, okay? You'll find that what we get out of this is that the 12 tribes are going to be established, okay? And you're going to see that God, later on, if you would look in Deuteronomy 32:8, you'll see that God uses those 12 tribes to establish boundaries on the earth. 32:8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Okay? So God divided the nations, okay, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what he did. All right? So we'll find that coming up through here. You find in Genesis 14, 1 through 4, I mentioned it earlier, where you have the first war among the nations, okay? And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, and a couple of names in there that I don't want to say, king of the nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and Brishna, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Anah, blah, blah, blah. And you'll see, and all these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. Okay, so there was a war. Okay, and if you get down, look down a little bit further, you'll see that 12 years they served, verse 4, and in the 13th year they rebelled. The 13th year they rebelled. This is the first time 13 shows up, and it's associated with rebellion. Okay. So we find that here in this dispensation. If you would go back to Genesis 12, and we'll start there with Abraham's call. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, we were talking earlier about praying for our country, and I think we really need to pray for our country, okay? Because our leaders, I believe, are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, okay? But that's not to say that our government is separated from us, because they elect leaders right from us. So your government is a good gauge on the hearts of the people. Okay? So we need to be careful of that. Now, I had an email. I went back and forth with an email with Mike Azinger. You guys know who Mike Azinger is? He's got a political talk show for Hammond Baptist up there. And him and I went round and round in an email because he was supporting, or he would not support Ron Paul because he believed that Ron Paul was apostate in not sending Israel aid. And, of course, he uses this passage to justify blowing everybody to kingdom come because they don't like Israel. Okay? And if you believe that, that's fine. But you need to believe the word of God over your own opinions. Okay? And this is what it says here. It says, and I, God, will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Okay? It doesn't say that the United States will bless them and curse them. Okay? It says God will do it. Okay? Can he use a nation to do that? Yeah, he usually does. Okay? But for someone to sit there and say that they're the hand of God executing his judgment is ridiculous. And that's what this Mike Azinger was saying to me, was that we can go in and we can destroy these nations because this passage gives us the authority to do it. And that's not what it says at all. That is not what it says at all. Okay? But even if it did say that, there's your rightly dividing. Okay? You have to rightly divide. All right? So God's the one who's going to be doing the blessing and the cursing. Okay? And in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai's wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Morah, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and High on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Okay, so what we have here is Abraham being called out of somewhere and being directed to somewhere else. Okay, and a lot can be said about Abraham here. Number one, he didn't require a sign from God like the Jews usually did. He exercised his belief in what God said and obeyed him. Okay? And this is a pretty good picture of the Christian life. Okay? We are to believe what God says and obey him. Okay? Now, some people would call that faith. Okay, I would call it belief and faith. Okay, because there, I have a message called the two faiths. Okay, and there are two faiths. One is yours, and one is the Lord's. Okay, one you have, the one that you have, needs constant reinforcement on a daily basis. Okay. You need to, I believe it's part of the sanctification process that your faith grows stronger, okay, and seeing results from doing what God tells you to do, okay? But the Lord's faith is a gift, amen? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, it, the faith, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, okay? So we know that faith is a gift. Okay, we also know that God gives every man a measure of faith so that he might believe, Romans 10. Okay, look at Hebrews 11. We're going to talk about Abraham's faith since he is, there's a whole chapter that starts off with how good his faith is. Hebrews 11. If you're having trouble with faith, this is a really good thing to study. Hebrews 11 is a really good thing to study. But you have to read the whole chapter, okay? You have to read the whole thing, because if not, you're going to miss something that's really nice, a great blessing, okay? Chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, okay? Faith is evidence. It's substance, all right? That's something that you can see, touch, you can feel it. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Whether it's yours or God's, you can see it. Okay, and this is why James said faith is dead without works. Okay? Because if you read on down through here, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, or I'm sorry, the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. But without, skip on down here, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared in the ark, an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Okay? By faith, by faith, by faith. You'll see that. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Okay? By faith, by faith. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive. Okay? So you got to pay attention to what they're doing here. If you notice, this faith that they're talking about here is connected with obedience. This faith is connected with obedience, okay? But look at the last verse in that chapter. We'll start verse 39. We're talking about faith here, okay? And all these, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Okay? So the faith that these people had is not the same faith that you have. We've got something better than that. We've got something better than that. Paul talks about it in Romans 1. In Romans 1, Paul talks about this faith. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay? Paul reveals here that there's two faiths, and that the righteousness of God is revealed from that faith unto this faith. Okay? Remember, when we rightly divide, you got to do what? You got to see who's doing the talking, who's he talking to, and what is he saying. Okay? So we can't take Abraham's faith and say that it's the same as ours, because it's not. It's different. The Bible says it's different. Okay? Now, Paul's quoting Habakkuk 2:4. If you turn back to Habakkuk 2:4, okay? Before Zechariah. Habakkuk 2:4. And it says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Did Paul misquote? Or is Paul trying to tell us something about faith, about the Old Testament and about the New Testament? Okay? Paul said the just shall live by faith. Okay? But Habakkuk didn't say that. Habakkuk said what? That the just shall live by his faith. You see a difference here? In the Old Testament, what would the disciples say? Lord, increase our faith. Okay? We don't have to do that. Okay, Romans 6 is where we increase our faith through the sanctification process. That increases our own faith. Okay, but we have a steady stream of faith coming from the Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Ghost. We're sealed until the day of redemption. And it's that faith that keeps you saved. It's that faith. And the more you yield, in 2 Timothy 2, It says that if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Okay? So there's the difference in the two faiths, okay, in a nutshell. All right? So Abraham's faith is very good faith, okay? They exercised a lot more faith than I do, that's for sure. And I was thinking about this morning on the way here, and, you know, or Christians in general, they like to get this idea of the Hebrews, you know, during the Exodus and stuff. How could they murmur? How could they murmur? They saw the plagues. They were taken out of Egypt. They had the cloud with the lights and all of that stuff, and they would still complain and murmur, you know, and you know, and I get on them about that sometimes. But hey, look at us. We've got something a million times better than they had, and I murmur every day. You know what I mean? So, you know, we have to remember that the faith comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not our own faith. We have our own faith, but what you get from him is a million times better than what you got. And just remember that, you know, and that ought to draw you so much closer to the Lord, because there's a lot of people out there that are having trouble getting victory over sin, or at least their attitude as far as being saved. If you realize that it's not your faith, it's the Lord Jesus' faith, then that can help you get over those things. So we didn't get very far into this, but there's a lot more that can be said about this Abrahamic covenant, okay? That was just his call. We're going to get into the covenant, and we're going to talk about it, what was given to him, the promises and the lessons, and God's attribute and all of those things. So let's go ahead and stop there and pray. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for your word. Pray that you'll bless our time together today, and that you would prepare our hearts to receive your words, to believe them. And Lord, we just pray that we could be a blessing to thee, and that you would draw us near to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.